Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. I welcome you all on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Nityananda Triodici to the sacred abode of their lordships, Sri Sri Gaura Nithai and other lordships who are their worshipable deities. And Srila Prabhupada's Western World Headquarters. Today, in honor of Sri Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day, we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 17, The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth. Text 12. Tabai Nityananda Svarupera Agamana Prabhu Ke Militya Paila Sadbuja Darshana. After this function at the house of Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu appeared. And then he met with Lord Chaitanya. He got the opportunity to see him in his six-armed form. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was born in the village of Ekachakra, in the district Birbhum, as the son of Padmavati and Hadai Pandit. In his childhood, he played like Balaram. So, before we plunge into the Leela, I should say a little about the tattva, so we understand who Lord Nityananda and even Lord Balaram are. In brief, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the absolute truth is realized in three features: Brahman, the impersonal effulgence from the Lord's body; Paramatma, the localized super soul within the heart of all living beings; and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And realization of Bhagavan is the last word in realization of the Absolute Truth. Brahman is realization of the Sat, or eternity aspect of the Absolute Truth. Paramatma is realization of Sat and Chit, Chit is the knowledge aspect of the supreme, of the absolute truth. And Bhagavan is realization of Sat Chit and Ananda, bliss that we are always desiring. The Vedanta Sutra says, Ananda Maya Vyasat, that the absolute truth is by nature blissful. And because we are parts and parcels of Him, we are also by nature blissful. But when we come into the material world and become covered by the material body, our original nature is covered. And we always feel uncomfortable because we are by nature eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And when we are covered by the material body, we experience temporary existence, ignorant existence, and miserable existence. So the Supreme Lord, understanding the plight of the conditioned souls and feeling compassionate towards them, appears within the material world in order to enlighten them with spiritual knowledge so they can understand their actual identities and their relationships with the Supreme Lord and act in that relationship and ultimately develop pure love of Godhead, which alone will satisfy the soul's desire for ananda. So Krishna comes and displays his pastimes in order to attract conditioned souls to become devoted to him. But as described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, after leaving his pastimes on earth, he laments that he did not give the people directly Vraja Bhakti, or Krishna Prema. And so he came again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give that Krishna prema through Harinam Sankirtan, through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And Krishna's first expansion in the spiritual world is Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. And when Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Balaram comes as Nityananda Prabhu. And that Balaram, he expands in the spiritual world into Mahashankarshan, who is the origin of all the expansions of Godhead, quadruple expansion. And then the forms of Narayan in the spiritual world, the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, from whose pores, from his breathing, countless universes emanate. And that Mahavishnu or Karanadakshaya Vishnu. He again expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And he lies down in the watery portion of each universe. And from his navel sprouts a lotus on which Lord Brahma sits, and the universe is created. And then again, he expands as the Super Soul, Paramatma, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, within the hearts of all living beings, within every atom, and between every atom. So we cannot imagine how great he is. As Srila Prabhupada says, we say God is great, but we don't know how great he is. But from the Vedic literatures, we can get a sense of how great God is. The reason I mention this, one reason is so that we understand who Lord Nityananda is properly, and don't mistake him. And the other reason is that when you hear about Lord Nityananda's merciful activities, and then you consider that Mahavishnu generates countless universes just by his breathing. He's a portion of a portion of a portion of Lord Nityananda. So how great Nityananda is. And when you keep that in mind, when you hear to what extent he is ready to extend himself for the deliverance of us fallen souls, it is completely astonishing. So, he was born in the village of Ekachakra as the son of Padmavati and Hadai Pandit, Brahmins, very perfect Brahmins. And as soon as Nitai was born, he became the center of attraction for everyone in the village of Ekachakra. And astonishingly, all the residents of Ekachakra loved Nitai more than they loved even their own children. Generally, every parent loves his or her own child more than other children. But in Ekachakra, everyone loved Nitai more. And he would, anyway, so after growing up a little bit, he told his parents, I want friends. Because up until then, he was at home. So they arranged that other children of a similar age would come and play with him. But their play was not ordinary. They would reenact the pastimes of Krishna and his different incarnations. Nitai would teach them the stories from the scripture, and then they would play different roles. And they would really enact the pastimes in a way in real life. For example, when Nitai taught them about stealing butter, how Krishna and Balaram would steal butter, he would generally play Krishna. So Krishna and Balaram and the other cowherd boys, they would actually go into the homes of the residents of Eka Chakra and steal their butter. And when they enacted the pastime of Krishna's appearance, yes, one boy would go to it was the river. It's considered to be the Yamuna, and pray, you know, that we are being burdened by demons. And then one of the children hiding in a loud voice would say, "Do not fear, I shall take birth, you know, in Mathura, and I will deliver all the devotees and kill all the demons." So then, when they were to enact the appearance pastime, they actually came out at midnight, came out of their homes, and at midnight they actually enacted that pastime. Now, they were just little children. They didn't even know how to read yet. So the elders were astonished. And they asked Nitai that, "You don't even know how to read yet. And we also haven't taught you all of these pastimes. But these dramas are exactly according to scripture, according to Srimad Bhagavatam and other shastras. How do you know?" And Nitai replied, "These are my pastimes." But they thought he's just a small child. He was telling them who he was, but they weren't getting it. That, oh, he's a small child just speaking some cute things. But Nitai, all right, I'll read the next sentence in the purport. Yes, in his childhood he played like Balaram. When he was growing up, a sannyasi came to the house of Hadai Pandit and begged to have the Pandit's son as his brahmachari assistant. Hadai Pandit immediately agreed and delivered his son to him. Although the separation was greatly shocking, so much so that Hadai lost his life after the separation. So this is also very mysterious. When Nitai was 12 years old, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And Nitai knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was his eternal Lord and Master, and that Nitai himself had appeared on earth in order to assist the Lord in his pastimes, specifically of establishing the Sankirtan movement and distributing love of Godhead through the chanting of the holy names. But he thought that the residents of Eka Chakra, my parents and all the residents, are so attached to me, they can't even bear to let me out of their sight for a moment. How will they ever allow me to leave Eka Chakra and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So just after having this thought, a sannyasi appeared in Eka Chakra Gram and visited the home of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And Hadai Pandit and Nitai, assisted by Nitai, very faithfully served the sannyasi. And the whole night the sannyasi stayed awake with them, telling them stories of Krishna. In the morning, Hadai Pandit, in a very genuine mood of appreciation and gratitude and service, asked the sannyasi, is there anything we can do for you? Is there anything we can give you? It will be our greatest pleasure and duty to fulfill your desire. And the sannyasi replied, I am about to embark on a pilgrimage to all the holy places in India. And I'm all alone. I need an assistant. So please give me your son, Nitai. These words struck the tender heart of Hadai Pandit like a thunderbolt. And he was stunned. He did not know what to say because he had already given his word to the sannyasi, who was a great devotee, that he would give him whatever he asked. So if he broke his word, he would be ruined. But at the same time, if he gave him Nitai, he would die of separation because Nitai was his life. So he, in this dilemma, he went to his wife, Padmavati, and asked her what he should do. She said, whatever you decide, I will accept. So he thought within himself, is there any similar situation in Shastra? Because devotees always try to base their decisions on the instructions and examples of the great authorities in Shastra. And he thought of Maharaj Dasarath when Vishwamitra Muni came and asked him to send his sons with him to kill some demons that were creating a disturbance. He didn't want to do it, but he did it. So Hadai Pandit told the sannyasi, yes. And he told Nitai, you're going with the sannyasi. And so there's so much to say, but we don't have so much time. And so Nitai went with the sannyasi to visit the different places of pilgrimage. So yeah, Hadai Pandit immediately agreed and delivered his son to him. Although the separation was greatly shocking, so much so that Hadai lost his life after the separation. Nityananda Prabhu traveled on many pilgrimages with the sannyasi. It is said that for many days he lived at Mathura with him, and at that time he heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Navadvip. So yes, Nityananda Prabhu did travel with the sannyasi, and eventually he decided to remain in Vrindavan at a place called Sringarvat until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was matured in his age and in his pastimes, that Nityananda Prabhu could join him. Because in his early days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting the pastimes of being a sort of dry scholar and argumentative logician. But when he went to Gaya, Nityananda Prabhu, he understood that, okay, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to begin the Sankirtan movement, so I must come and join him and assist him. Therefore, he came down to Bengal to see the Lord. When Lord Nityananda came to Navadvip, he was the guest at the house of Nandanacharya. Understanding that Nityananda Prabhu had arrived, Lord Chaitanya sent his devotees to him, and thus there was a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had an intuition that Nityananda Prabhu would be coming. And he told his devotees that very soon a very spiritual, very powerful spiritual personality will be coming to Navadvip. And then he had a dream. He told the devotees that he had a dream. And in the dream, this amazing spiritual personality came on a chariot, and the chariot parked in front of his house, and that wonderful resplendent personality started to inquire, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? And in the dream, when Nimai Pandit came out of the house and saw Nityananda Prabhu, I mean, he was astonished by his beauty, but he felt that he knew him, although he'd never seen him before. So he asked him, "Who are you?" And Nityananda Prabhu replied, "I am your brother, and very soon we will meet." So when Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadvip, he came to the home of Nandanacharya and told him, "Do not tell anyone I am here. I am going to hide here until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finds me. Meanwhile, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur to find that personality. He said, you go everywhere in Navadvip. You must find this person. So the two of them went. They went to all the temples, all the bathing ghats, all the houses of the devotees, all the houses of the Brahmins, all the shops, marketplaces. They went everywhere. For 9 hours they searched, but they could not find him. So they came back and informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, no one can find Nityananda Prabhu unless he reveals himself to them. You all come with me. And he went straight to the house of Nandanacharya, and there was a great meeting of the two. Actually, each of these pastimes could be elaborated. They're very dramatic. Once I was in, when I was in India, based in Bombay, Mrs. Gopi Kumari Birla of the Birla family, which was the richest in India, she invited me to a performance of Chaitanya Leela at an institution called Prem Puri Ashram, which is still there in the sort of the Chopati area, near Chopati in Bombay. And, you know, I was a very rigid brahmachari. I never went to any such performance. But she was an important lady, and it was a very sort of a nice gesture of her to want to invite me. So I went. And when they came to the part where Nimai and Nitai met, it was like so dramatic. You know, the one was going, Nimai, and the other one, Nitai, Nimai, Nitai, Nimai, Nitai. And then they embraced, and then they both fell on the ground in ecstasy. And it was very moving. And I realized that when devotees perform Krishna Leela or Chaitanya Leela, Krishna and Chaitanya and Nityananda, they actually manifest themselves. I mean, from a dramatic point of view, they were children. I mean, you know how they do those Leelas in India. They weren't very accomplished actors. But there was a great power to that performance, because I felt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and all their associates actually manifested. So there's much to be said, even in these few verses and purports. Srila Prabhupada mentions many pastimes, and again, each pastime could be described in detail with great relish. But Nityananda Prabhu was an avadut. Time just does not permit me to tell the whole story of the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. But Anyway, he was an avadut. He would act in a very wild way. And the first time after Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur approached Jagayan Madhai, Jagayan Madhai became so infuriated, and they were big, powerful demons. They became so enraged, like so insulted, that because no one messes with Jagayan Madhai. And these people are telling them to, you know, chant the name of Krishna and worship Krishna and take Krishna as the treasure of their life and give up all their sinful activities. They were enraged. Like, who do these people think they are? Let us kill them. So they were big, powerful men and drunk. And so they were chasing after Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And they were running for their lives. Of course, it's a pastime. They didn't have to run for their lives. But in that mood of devotees, they were running for their lives. And Jagai and Madhai were chasing after them with all their strength, and they were running very fast. But on the way, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur were enjoying sort of joking exchanges. And Nityananda Prabhu said to Haridas that, "You were caned in 22 marketplaces, but you were saved. So why don't you pray to the Lord to save us?" And he said, "Yes, that's true, I was. But I wasn't associating with a madman like you then. Now what can I do? You know, all the townspeople warned us, don't go near these demons. They'll kill you. And you didn't listen. So now what can I do?" And then Nityananda Prabhu said, "Don't blame me. I'm not responsible. Blame your master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a Brahmin, but he sits like a king giving orders, and he's telling us to go out into the town of Navadweep and approach anyone without any consideration of whether they're qualified or unqualified, and tell them to chant the name of Krishna and worship Krishna and take Krishna as the treasure of their life. It's his fault." So like that, they were joking, and meanwhile, Jagai and Madhai were in hot pursuit. But they were a little heavy and drunk. So eventually, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur escaped. So they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him what happened. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I will call my Sudarshan Chakra and kill them." And Nitai said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. In this age, your mission is different. And in Kali Yuga, almost everyone will be like Jagai and Madhai, and you'll have to kill everyone. Please don't do that. Give them to me. I will take care of them." And Advaitacharya said, "Very soon, in 1 or 2 days, because of Nityananda Prabhu's desire, these demons will be delivered." So meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu, he was speaking with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Haridas Thakur, he was older, Advaitacharya, so he was speaking to Advaitacharya that you don't know how hard it is to have Nityananda as my Sankirtan partner. He's a madman. You know, sometimes he'll see alligators in the river and he'll jump in to play with them. And everyone is in such anxiety, they feel he's going to be killed. And people come up to me and say, what is your Nitai doing? Can't you stop him? But what can I do? And he said sometimes he approaches the young girls who come to the river to take bath and tells them, I want to marry you. And they become shocked and offended and they run home and tell their parents, good Brahmins. And Nitai just laughs. And the parents come to me and say, can't you do something about this Nitai? Well, what can I do? And now this is the last straw. Everyone warned us not to approach these demons, sinful, intoxicated, powerful demons. And he went right up to them. And we almost lost our lives. And Advaitacharya replied, why should you be surprised that Nityananda is associating with Jagai and Madhai? It's very natural that drunkards should associate with each other. All the three of them are totally drunk. So why should you be surprised? But you, Haridas, you're a respectable, sober, learned devotee. Why should you associate with them? So there are many, many stories of Nityananda Prabhu's wild activities. Of course, he was full of love for Krishna and full of compassion for all fallen souls, but he would enjoy like that. So once we were with Srila Prabhupada in Indore for Gita Jayanti Mahotsav, and the organizers had given Srila Prabhupada a house, and near his house, I think the same sort of compound area, there was another house. And there was a man named Vairagi Baba. He was tall and big. Maybe he sort of, I didn't make the connection at the time, maybe he fancied himself somehow like Nityananda Prabhu. He was tall and big and handsome. And he had these wampers, he would like womp the wampers and jump around in kirtan. And Prabhupada was really trying to engage him. He sort of wanted, he was trying to engage him. He didn't invite him. He did a program with him in Bombay then. He liked him. So one day I went, I don't know, there was some function at that other house near Prabhupada's house. And I went in and I saw Vairagi Baba sitting on a sofa drinking tea. And, you know, I was sort of, whatever, naive or innocent. I said, Vairagi Baba, what are you doing drinking tea? He said, I am Avadhut. So I didn't know what Avadhut meant then. So I went back to Srila Prabhupada and I related the incident. I said, what is that, Avadhut? He said, Avadhut means a liberated soul who's beyond the regulative principles. And generally, it refers to Lord Nityananda. But he made a face like, you know,
He's not a liberated soul beyond the regulator. He just likes to drink tea.
So, of course, Nityananda Prabhu is glorified throughout the Shastras, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and later books. And in the songs of our acharyas, Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's really clear that by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, and this is also an instruction for the story of Jagai and Madhai, one gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in one lecture, and it's also in Narottam Das Thakur's songs, that without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot enter Vrindavan and the service of Radha and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that to approach Radha and Krishna, one needs the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one needs the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And to get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one must approach people like Jagai and Madhai. Now, when you actually read this pastime or hear it in detail, you understand how sinful Jagai and Madhai were. I mean, they were actually Jai and Vijay, who took birth first as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then as Shishupal and Dantavakra. Very big demons. And the fact that Nityananda Prabhu approached them, you know, in such a loving and compassionate mood, is extraordinary. That first time, you know, they ran to Mahaprabhu. Then a second time when Nityananda Prabhu was wandering through Navadvip, he met them again. And he again repeated that same request. But Nityananda Prabhu, when he would approach people, he would tell them that, yeah, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, accept Krishna as the treasure of your life. And he would say that if you do that, I will be sold to you. I will become your property. And he would approach people, and if they didn't agree, he would fall down at their feet. That's why I was saying, like, that he who's, you know, expansion of an expansion of an expansion is generating the universes from his breathing, you know, and another expansion is like the super soul of the universe, the soul of the universe. And another expansion of that expansion is the Lord within everyone's heart. That person would literally fall at their feet and beg them, roll in the dust of their feet and beg them to please chant
Krishna's name. So to preach, you have to be so humble.
So once, when Srila Prabhupada first came to Bombay, he was staying at Kailash Seksaria's house on Marine Drive in Bombay. So Kailash Seksaria arranged a program on the terrace of his building and invited, you know, many of the wealthy and elite of Bombay to attend the program. And it was very glamorous, you know, Marine Drive overlooking the Arabian Sea, and sort of nice breezes coming from the ocean, and it was lit up, it was night. And Srila Prabhupada, like in an extraordinary display of humility, he just wanted them to chant Hare Krishna. And he said, I'm bowing at your feet with a straw in my mouth. You know, please just chant Hare Krishna. And he tried to get them like to just say those two words, Hare Krishna. And he spoke with such humility and such force. It wasn't just like we say, you know, like that one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Srila Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. So it's not that like just sort of a phrase, but like with so much heartfelt feeling, Srila Prabhupada said, I'm come before you as a beggar, you know, with straw in my teeth, falling at your feet. Please chant Hare Krishna. And they were embarrassed. You know, they're all these like big people, very affluent, well-dressed, sophisticated people. But because of Prabhupada's appeal, they did. They somehow did it. They chanted Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada often quoted as our method for preaching a verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati, which he paraphrased when he was speaking to those aristocratic people in Bombay. Dante nidayat srinakam padayor nepatyai. Dante, my teeth, taking a straw in my teeth and falling at your feet and flattering you 100 times. And Prabhupada would explain that when you appreciate someone, they become very eager to hear what you have to say. And they, oh, this person is very intelligent. This person has actually appreciated my wonderful qualities. And then he'll say, yes, yes, what is it that you want to say? Well, you're approaching me with such humility and praising me so much. What do you want to say? And then Prabhupada would continue the verse. Gauranga Chandra Charane. Oh, yes. Hey Sadhava, Sakala Eva Vihara Vidai, Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutanu Raga. That whatever you have learned, you're like a very great and noble and intelligent person, whatever you have learned, kick it out and just surrender to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that preaching method, if you want to call it that, was exhibited by Nityananda Prabhu. He would literally roll in the dust of the feet of the people and beg them. He's the Supreme Lord, God Almighty. So much love and compassion he has. And he's approaching us. I mean, indirectly, he's approaching us. And how are we going to respond? So, Srila Prabhupada, he was in the same mood. I mean, he has written so many books, 60 volumes of books or 80 volumes of books. And what is the message? What is the message? It's the same message. Chant Krishna's name. Worship Krishna. Accept Krishna as the treasure of your life. It's the same message. And Nityananda Prabhu, he wanted to approach Jagai and Madai. Up until then, they were approaching all pious people. And they were taking the holy name, being requested like that by Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And they were developing love for Krishna. But Nityananda Prabhu thought, yes, we're approaching many pious people and they're taking up the order and they're becoming pure lovers of Krishna. But no one will know the full glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unless demons take up the order. And it's specifically Jagai and Madhai who are the big demons. And Nityananda Prabhu's desire was fulfilled by the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. The glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy spread everywhere. Even the demigods, they were astonished. They had never seen such mercy. Because in their three previous births, the Lord had killed them. In this birth, he didn't kill them, but he gave them prema bhakti, which even the greatest demigods and sages and rishis don't get. So, inconceivable mercy. And Srila Prabhupada, he did the same thing, approaching people who... not to the extent of Jagai and Madai, but in essence, they were the same. Eating meat, taking intoxicants, having illicit sex, doing everything. And so Srila Prabhupada is like the perfect representative of Nityananda Prabhu, or servant of Nityananda Prabhu, because he has done exactly what Nityananda Prabhu did. Wanted to do throughout the world. He has made people everywhere aware of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so extraordinary that meat eaters, intoxicators, and so on are becoming pure devotees. And because of Srila Prabhupada, I guess he describes in the purport to one song that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a channel. He dug a channel from that ocean of love of God, and he brought it to every house. That, he was doing that literally. He was going to every house, every person he met, and asking them to chant Krishna's name in Bengal. And Srila Prabhupada did that throughout the world. And now, how many people are worshiping Gaur Nitai? Millions. There's probably millions of homes and hundreds of temples that have deities of Gaur Nitai. So this was Nityananda Prabhu's desire. This was his purpose in approaching Jagai and Madhai. And Srila Prabhupada took that same desire and used the same method, adjusted a little bit for us as we are now. And thus the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu is glorified all over the world by Srila Prabhupada's activities. And on this occasion, we should pray to Nityananda Prabhu to inspire us and empower us with that mood of humble entreaty to approach anyone and everyone without discrimination. In those days, Nityananda Prabhu could say, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, accept Krishna as the treasure of your life. And people would know what he was saying. But in Europe and America and other places where Srila Prabhupada went, people didn't have any idea who is Krishna. Like he wrote in the introduction to the Krishna book, when people see the picture on the cover, they'll ask, who is this man and who is this woman with him? So he wrote books, volumes of books, to explain who is Krishna. What does it mean to chant Krishna's name? What does it mean to worship Krishna? Why should we accept Krishna as our life and soul? So when we approach people with Srila Prabhupada's books, in essence, it's the same activity as what Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur did in Navadvipa. Just approaching Krishna and begging them, chant Krishna's name, worship Krishna, follow Krishna's instructions, preach Krishna's message. So this is like parampara, but I mean it's parampara, but in a way it's more than parampara. I mean, I would dare to say that of all the acharyas in our line, after Nityananda Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada most embodies that mood. And the same way he would send us out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sent out Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, he told them to come back every night and report to him. There's Sankirtan results. And in Bombay it was different. I was approaching wealthy people, but it's the same thing. In the evening I'd come and report to Srila Prabhupada. And one day, you know, generally I'd ask them to become life members, and then they would get all of Prabhupada's books. But if they didn't want to become life members, I'd ask them to buy a set of books. And if not, then buy at least a few books. And if not, at least give some little amount. But that one day, somehow, no one did anything, practically. So I came back and reported to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, it's a very important instruction that if you sincerely try your best to please Krishna, Krishna will be satisfied even if others are not. Now that means the people I approach might not be satisfied, but Krishna will be satisfied. It could even mean the managers back at the temple won't be satisfied. Oh, you didn't bring in anything. But if you sincerely try your best to please Krishna, Krishna will be satisfied. So we don't really have, in a sense, we don't have to worry about the result. Of course, if we serve in that humble mood, there will be results. But we don't have to be concerned. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they got a lot of criticism, especially because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his all-night kirtans at Srivas Thakur's home, and they weren't allowing just anyone in. Like if someone was proud, they couldn't come in. So there were all those proud people in Navadvip who were very upset with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivas Thakur. So when Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur were coming up, they were blaspheming them. They were criticizing them. Oh, they're from that Nimai Pandit and Srivas Pandit, and don't give to them. Don't let them in their house, your houses. They're actually thieves. The reason they're coming to your house is they want to check it out and see what you have in your house, so then at night they can come back and steal it. So there's a lot of criticism. But by this incident of not just delivering Jagai and Madhai, but giving them Krishna Prema, everyone was convinced. And although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them Prema Bhakti and accepted him in his circle of confidential associates, Madhai still felt very bad. He felt very bad because he had, in his intoxicated state, when Nityananda Prabhu approached him for the second time, he picked up this clay pot, liquor pot, and smashed it against Nityananda Prabhu's head with all his strength. And that broke open a cut in Nityananda Prabhu's head, and blood was profusely pouring out, covering his whole face and body. Even then, Nityananda Prabhu persisted, and he said, "I don't feel pain from being hit by you, but I feel pain because of how you're misusing your life. Please chant Krishna's name." And Madhai was so intoxicated and so demonic that he picked up another pot and he was going to smash that on his head. He actually wanted to kill him. And Jagai intervened. He said, "Madhai, don't do that. Don't do that. Can't you see? He's a genuine saintly person. He's taking all this risk out of love and compassion for you. Don't do that to him." And then, of course, the news went to Mahaprabhu and he came. But anyway, so afterwards, But I approached Nityananda Prabhu that, yes, I've been relieved of all my sinful reactions, and I've been given pure love for Krishna, but still it just bothers me so much that with all my strength I smashed that pot on your head. And Nityananda Prabhu said, I don't take that seriously at all. Just like a child might kick a parent, but the parent doesn't take it seriously. And it doesn't really hurt the parent. So I don't take it seriously. It didn't even really hurt. So then Madai said, well, what about all the other people I caused pain to? Because they were really big demons. I mean, they would plunder people's homes. They would rape even the daughters of Brahmins. They would set people's house on fire. I mean, they really wreaked havoc in people's lives. They would kill people. I mean, really bad. He said, what about all of them? I don't even know all the people I hurt. I was so intoxicated, I wouldn't even be able to recognize them. So Nityananda Prabhu said, you should go to all the bathing ghats by the Ganges and clean them and decorate them. And everyone who comes to take bath, because everyone would bathe in the Ganges. They didn't have plumbing like we have. You prostrate yourself at their feet, and you beg them that if I've done anything that has caused any pain to you or anyone you love, please forgive me. And you serve them very humbly. And Madai did that. And people, when they saw how humble he had become, their hearts melted. But there were still some people who were so angry at him for what he had done to them and their loved ones that they couldn't forgive him. And they would take a rock and like throw it at his head. But he was so humble that he would pick up the rock and bring it back to them and said, I am so sinful. This is one time is not enough. Throw it again. And then their hearts would melt. And they would embrace Madhai. So when you think of Srila Prabhupada, how he was on the Bowery and that young man, like he was taking the modern New York version of wine, commonly known as LSD or whatever it was, he just went mad. He went mad. And he was ready to kill Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had to go running down the steps of that loft and Bowery Street, running for his life. It's just like Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur running from their lives from Jagai and Madhai. So I cannot imagine anyone since Nityananda Prabhu and his associates who has taken up that mission of approaching without discrimination anyone and everyone and giving them that message. And through all of you, you are doing the same thing. You're approaching people without consideration and giving them the message in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books or the Harinam Sankirtan party, which also carries books and magazines. It's the same, exactly the same. And by that activity we will get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we should also practice. I mean, they gave us the Hari Nam, so we should, you know, take up the Hari Nam on our beads and do follow all the instructions, and that will give us the life, the spiritual potency to serve as instruments for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Nityananda Prabhu's and Srila Prabhupada's love and mercy upon all fallen souls. Hare Krishna. So I guess we'll end. Well, we'll officially end because we're over time. But I'll stay on if anyone has any questions or comments. And I must thank Swavas Prabhu for organizing this community to be instruments of Lord Nityananda's and Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Hare Krishna. And you'll be going to that place where Gaurnitai delivered Jagai and Madhai. So please bring back some of that dust. On your clothes and in your heart. When do you actually leave?
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. Okay, good. Hare Krishna. All right, thank you all. Hare Krishna.